Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
One of the stories that has dominated, obviously, the baseball offseason, the Houston Astros and the sign-stealing scandal. And just when we think that we know most of it, new information comes out. A story in the Wall Street Journal, broken just in the last few days, comparing the talking about the general manager, Jeff Luhnow, and what he knew, what the front office knew, the origins of the scandal, all of that. To talk about it, we bring in the reporter who broke that story, Jared Diamond from The Wall Street Journal. Hey, Jared, how are you?
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing well. Yeah, usually in the past I've spoken to you about the actual baseball on the field, but in this instance, certainly this is a story that just keeps hanging around there as baseball wants to turn to the, you know, to spring training. And you broke a story, and, you know, for those who may not have read it, people I think have been commenting about it, but tell everybody that you got your hands on a letter from the commissioner of baseball to the Astros general manager, former general manager Jeff Luhnow. Tell people what you uncovered.
Well, this letter that Rob Manfred sent to Jeff Luhnow contained a whole lot of information about the investigation into the Astros that was not made public in Rob Manfred's report, which was released in the middle of last month. This letter spoke at length about an Excel spreadsheet that the Astros internally called Codebreaker that was designed and executed by the Astros front office for the purpose of stealing signs. And none of this was in Rob Manfred's public report. And I think it's all sort of raised questions, not just about what perhaps did Jeff Luhnow know, what actually was going on in the Astros front office, but it's also raised questions just about the investigation in general. And is there anything else that they uncovered up there in the investigation that they decided not to tell us? That, I think, gotten a lot of people kind of upset that this all wasn't part of what they put out to the public about a month ago.
Now, part of your story is that there is, as I think you called it, a he said, difference of opinion between Jeff Luhnow and what he's saying. He still claims he did not know, and yet the team's director of advanced information was claiming that he sent him, you know, and apparently in the report sent him emails, and that Jeff Luhnow did know this. Is it that there is this dispute that Major League Baseball perhaps felt, you know, that they couldn't prove it? Is that why they didn't release all this information to us that the commissioners seem to know? Or is there any other explanation you can think of on why they would not have made public the letter and all the information they had?
Well, there is overwhelming evidence that Jeff Luhnow should have known if he didn't know. But that's a big jump between that and being able to prove definitively that he actually knew. Now, we know that Jeff Luhnow was shown a PowerPoint presentation that discussed Codebreaker in September of 2016. Jeff Luhnow insists he was under the impression it was going to be used to look at catcher signs before, you know, based on previous game footage, not used live in-game. The person who showed him that presentation said, well, of course he knew it was going to be used live in games, but it came down to Major League Baseball being unable to prove who was telling the truth. There was another Astros employee, Tom Kokwesser, still works for the team, who said that he discussed this with Jeff Luhnow on 1 to 3 occasions during the 2016-17 offseason. Baseball was unable to corroborate that claim, and that's why it became sort of a he said situation. And what makes it even more complicated was Jeff Luhnow and Tom Kokwesser clearly had some issues because Coke Wester's responsibilities were reduced after the 2019 season, which I think in the eyes of baseball made him perhaps a bit of an unreliable witness because maybe he had an axe to grind. And at the end of the day, we still just don't know. What we do know, though, is that Jeff Luhnow should have known. There is so much evidence that he should have known. There is an email in his inbox that referred to the, quote, dark arts sign stealing system. They found that in Jeff Luhnow's inbox. It was an opened email. He says he didn't read to the bottom of it. I don't know about you, but typically not reading the whole email is not an excuse that I think generally works, at least with my boss.
We're talking to Jared Diamond about the Astros and the sign stealing scandal that they apparently internally called Code Breaker. Now, is it, what? How do you feel about, you know, based on your article, that there are numerous employees who are still working for the team and in the front office who clearly were a part of this? And is this still, is that problematic?
Well, it shocks me, actually, that there are people that we know to be involved with this scandal that are still working for the Astros. Tom Coke Wester being one, Derek Bagoa being another, a bunch of other video room staffers and other employees in advanced scouting who we know were involved, who still work for the team. Now, you know, Major League Baseball people I've talked to say, well, it's up to the Astros to decide. These are more junior level employees. We didn't feel like at the league level it was our sort of place to suspend these people. We suspended the top person, which was Jeff Luhnow. Jeff Luhnow was fired, and now we leave it to the Astros to decide how they want to handle their more junior level staffers. Look, until this weekend, none of these names were public. Now they're all out there. You do wonder if maybe this forces the Astros' hands in terms of figuring out whether these people should continue to be working for them, because there's no doubt some of these guys were intimately involved with this video room sign stealing operation, which really was the beginning of this whole cheating scandal that eventually morphed into the trash can banging scheme that's now infamous.
Yeah, and because the commissioner suspended the general manager of the Astros, who then was fired, but sent Jeff Luhnow this letter and clearly seemed to think that, based on the commissioner's letter, that he had culpability here. Why wouldn't the commissioner release this type of information that you uncovered in that letter? What can you speculate? You know, what would be a reason that baseball would not want to release this information?
Well, the most likely explanation is that baseball decided, A, it wasn't, couldn't prove all of it definitively enough to publish it. That's certainly one explanation, especially because this letter that was written on January 2nd or sent on January 2nd was essentially a charge sheet. It was not the final sort of findings. It was a list of all the findings baseball had. Jeff Luhnow responded to that letter with an 170-page binder filled with documents and other evidence that he at least believes refuted some of what was in this January 2nd letter. And clearly, I think certainly some of what Jeff Luhnow presented to MLB probably had an impact, probably was able to show that maybe MLB wasn't completely 100% right in this first letter. I think that's certainly a possibility. Now, the conspiracy theorists, if there are any of those listening right now, would say, well, look, maybe baseball just wanted to wrap this up quickly, didn't want it to get too far out of hand. They thought, okay, we could act swiftly, act decisively, suspend Jeff Luhnow. I'm sure MLB knew that he'd be fired as well. They look like they were tough, and maybe everybody will just move on. The problem is we're now about 3 days away from spring training starting, and this is still really the only thing, or one of the only things, anyone is going to be talking about when camps open, and that is certainly the last thing baseball wanted, which is players reporting the spring camp training, which starts, I think, on Tuesday for some teams.
I think the Mets on the 16th, pitchers and catchers. The Mets, I think, are on the 16th. I think everybody else is on the 17th. Sorry for full squad.
Yeah, it's coming up, and this is going to be the story that's going to dominate camps, especially in West Palm Beach, Florida, which is I don't know if this sentence has ever been said before, but it's going to be wild in West Palm Beach, Florida this spring when the Astros show up.
Yeah, and remember that you have an interesting confluence there where the Astros share a spring training facility with the now defending champion Washington Nationals. So you're going to have a lot of attention there with both those teams, and it makes it even more interesting. Let me ask you, Jared. Does it matter to you, does it matter that this, we now believe, based on your reporting, that this scandal started with the front office? Would that relieve in any way Astros' former manager, A.J. Hinch, of some responsibility?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it's still one that's going to sort of need to be sussed out and figured out as we move forward. Clearly, when Rob Manfred says that, the banging scheme, that's also now a term that's now in the baseball lexicon forever, the banging scheme. He says and continues to say, and there's no evidence that it is not the case, that that was completely player-driven. And with the assistance of one particular coach, who I'm sure we'll be hearing more about probably in the next couple of days, and Alex Cora. So I believe that to be true, that that element, which seems to be the most damning element in the report, was started by the players. But what we do know is because there was this sort of front office sponsored, even if they were lower level front office people, front office sponsored sort of sign stealing operation, it does provide a glimpse into sort of the culture of the Astros, right? It was clearly a place where this kind of stuff was encouraged. It certainly wasn't discouraged. And you wonder if perhaps it was just overall fostered an environment where players felt empowered to sort of bend the rules, stretch the rules, because, hey, they have a front office that's clearly sort of playing in that sandbox as well.
Before I let you go, I can't help myself, because you do work for the Wall Street Journal. I'm going to have you put your journal hat on for a second. Do you think this Mets deal with ownership for a second? Obviously, that deal fell apart with Steve Cohen. Any thoughts in terms of a future owner and what that might look like moving forward for the Mets?
Well, look, I think it's a positive sign for Mets fans that the Wilpons continue to say they intend to sell the team. That's, I suppose, a good thing for Mets fans that just want to get rid of the Wilpons, that they're not just saying, all right, well, we're done here. We're going to own the team for the next 20 years. Clearly, they are motivated to sell. And I think the ideal scenario for Mets fans would be, hey, these guys, the Wilpons, realize that their sort of ridiculous plan of, well, you could buy the team, but we're going to still run it for 5 years or longer, is a non-starter and will be a non-starter for anybody. There's nobody in the world that's going to put up more than $2 billion and then be told somebody else is going to make all the decisions, even for 1 minute, let alone 5 years. So maybe they learn from this experience and they recognize the next person who comes in, they have to be willing to give up control. And maybe it pushes up the price, right? They come in, Steve Cohen is going to buy the team for what, $2.5 billion? And now they say, well, all right, well, if we're leaving right away, it's now going to have to be $2.8 billion. Who knows? But clearly, the Wilpons are motivated to sell. I'm sure there's a lot of reasons why. There's some related to Fred Wilpon's estate situation and other reasons. It does seem like one way or the other, we're reaching, nearing the end of the Wilpon ownership of the Mets. Yet somehow it feels so fitting that even selling the team when it comes to the Wilpons and the Mets is somehow an absurd sort of circus of, of errors and comedy.
Admit you miss it just a little bit.
I do. I sometimes miss that insanity. There is something about covering the Mets that is specific to covering the Mets. Things happen in them that happen to no other team, at least in baseball, and probably not in any sport anywhere.
Yeah. There you go. All right. Jared Diamond, excellent reporting. The dark arts, the code breaker, language we're not used to associating with baseball. But here we are, and we'll look forward to catching up with you down the road.
Sounds great. Thanks a lot.